Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Good morning, you guys. Sorry for being a little late. We magnify your name this morning, God. We give you glory. My name is Yvonne Camper. Thank you for joining Managing Your Prophetic Mantle. If this is the first time, for you watching me, you can go back and look at my playlist. And I put, this is like our third or fourth session, and I put it in a playlist on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. God bless you. Lord, you're worthy this morning. We magnify you. We give you the glory, the honor, the praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Good morning, Kimberly. God bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to your name, God. You're worthy to be exalted. You're worthy to be lifted, oh God, and we bless you. I bless you this morning. I enter your gates with thanksgiving, and I enter your courts with praise. I'm thankful unto you, and I bless your holy name. Hallelujah. Good morning, Tanisha. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Be exalted, be exalted, be lifted up. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you this morning. Hallelujah. Good morning, Chevelle. God bless you. Good morning, Bree. Hallelujah. Good morning, Kwame. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Good morning, Ebony. Get started in a few seconds. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Good morning, Bree. Please like and share. Amen. So we're going to get started. So I just wanted to really lay the groundwork again for, you know, managing your prophetic mantle is really to help you understand your prophetic gift, but to lay a solid foundation, a foundation that you can grow and mature from. There's so many prophets that are out there and they're untrained, they're uncircumcised, and they're out there prophesying and wreaking havoc in the body of Christ. And so I feel like part of my assignment in the earth is to help mitigate that and to help train prophets and minister to prophets and heal prophets that will be effective in their sphere of influence. So today we're going to talk about, I'm going to do a whole whole series of videos on prophetic protocols, to understand the protocol of operating in the prophetic. And then we'll get to spiritual warfare and all the spiritual and supernatural stuff that people like. But I don't think you can be an effective prophet if you don't have a solid foundation. The thing that has given me longevity over time is that I had a solid foundation of the Word of God, where I was trained. The Word of God was preeminent. It was the final authority on every single service. And there's so many prophetic people that they don't know the word. They don't know scriptures. They can't quote scriptures. They don't know how to find scriptures. You have to have a solid foundation in the Word of God. So the prophetic protocol today is going to be on the Word of God. And I want you to understand, too, that just because people go to church does not make them a Christian. I was watching Roland Martin a few years ago. It was around the time of the election, the Trump elections, he was talking to this young Caucasian man who was a white supremacist, and Roland Martin was saying, you know, I'm a Christian. He said, I'm a Christian too. And Roland Martin looked at him strange. He said, I'm a cultural Christian. And so that just kind of piqued my interest. And so I did a little research, and a cultural Christian is somebody that they're not necessarily a Christian. They don't believe in Christian. They don't believe in the Christian lifestyle. They just love the Christian values. So they love to go to church. They love to be benevolent. They love to help the poor. So they have not really consecrated their life to Christ. They just like to live their life like a Christian. And there's so many people in church that are like that. They go to church every single Sunday, but they really don't have a biblical or a Christian worldview. They just like the life of a believer. And it is such something that is just really, I take this very seriously, that you have to have a solid foundation in the Word of God to be able to even prophesy accurately, to be able to even manage your mantle, because there is nothing that a prophet can prophesy that cannot be identified in the Word. And so let's talk about this. This is something that I got from John Paul Jackson. They gave me permission to reuse it. But the first thing he says is the Bible as the perfect revelation of Jesus and the infallible Word of God is the absolute standard for weighing and assessing all revelation. So many people prophetic people don't even believe in the Bible as being completely infallible, that there are no errors in it, there are no mistakes in it, it hasn't changed over the course of time, that the Bible is infallible and it's static, it is unchangeable, because God said that I am the God that I do not change. So his Word does not change. And I think that's a decision that you have to make up front, is that the Bible is completely accurate. So many people were, oh, you can't believe men wrote the Bible and all this kind of stuff. There's only one person that wrote the Bible, and that was the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that the Spirit of God moved upon man. The Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. So you have to accept the fact that the Bible is completely accurate. And if the Bible says it's wrong, it's wrong. If the Bible says it's right, it's right. I was watching Billy Graham's biography, and he was saying that during the time that he came up, there were several evangelists coming up with him, and they decided that the Word of God wasn't true and that you couldn't believe what man wrote and that it wasn't completely accurate. So they kind of went in a different direction. And Billy Graham said, you know, I started feeling the same way. Yeah, maybe they're right, but the Word of God is not true. And there are some errors in it. He said, but I secluded myself and I took my Bible with me. And he said, I had a conversation with God. And I said, God, I don't know if everything in this Bible is true or not, but I'm going to receive it by faith that everything that you put in this Bible is completely accurate. It is infallible. There's no mistakes. There's no errors. There's no discrepancies, that the Word of God is true. And so you can look back 100 years later, 50, 60, 70 years later, and look at where did Billy Graham go, and where are those other evangelists? We don't even know their names, but Billy Graham evangelized an entire world because the foundation of his ministry was the Word of God. And if you look at old clips of Billy Graham, he's constantly saying that the Word of God says this, that the Bible says this, that God said that, because he took it by faith. And we have to receive it by faith that the Bible is true, because you're not going to have a successful prophetic ministry or prophetic life if you don't receive the Word of God as being accurate. Some people want, especially when it's coming with this homosexual agenda, people want to kind of twist the Word of God and make it okay, but it's not okay. And this is part of the reason why you see this new influx or insurgence of Christian witches, Christian magicians, and all that kind of stuff. They believe that they could be a witch and a Christian at the same time, because they're not taking the Word of God as being accurate and infallible. And so the Bible says that you can't serve the doctrine of demons. And we have to make sure that we're not going to get from Satan what we should be getting from God. And you can't drink from both cups. You can't drink from the cup of the Holy Spirit and the cup of demons at the same time. And so these people don't have a biblical or a Christian worldview. They think they can make up the rules as they go along. I read an article that said that African-American women specifically are leaving the church by the droves because, and they're becoming Christian witches. I think it's a twofold issue. I think the initial issue is that the church doesn't really embrace the prophetic. So prophets are sitting in the pew dying on the vine. And the other thing is that there is a spirit of rebellion. Prophets have to, I'm going to do a series on prophetic protocols as well, that prophets have to be very careful about operating in rebellion, because that's something that can characterize a prophetic life, is seasons and seasons of rebellion. So we're going to talk about the word of God. Let me first read, I'm going to read Jude 1:3-4. It says, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once and for all delivered unto the saints." There is a problem going on in Jude's church. He said, "For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." So you have these false teachers coming in with false doctrine, and they were shifting the climate of the church. And even though Jude said, "I was going to write to you about something else," I felt impressed on by the Holy Spirit to write you to contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. I believe that that's where we are right now prophetically, that we have to defend the faith. People are leaving church by the groves. We live in the most unchurched generation in history. And I know we're going to move in the prophetic, but I feel like it's so necessary that I lay a solid foundation for you, a springboard, so to speak, so that when God does launch you, when you do move out into your life and begin to operate, if you're operating in the prophetic already, that you will be more accurate, that you will be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And if you're just beginning to move in it, that you have a solid foundation in the Word of God so that you can really make an impact where you are in life. And so a prophet's responsibility is to meditate, recite, declare, study, and read the word of God, primarily to know the resonance of God's voice. The Bible says that his word is his voice. And some people say, I don't hear God, or I don't know how to hear God. That maybe it's because you're not reading your Bible enough. Maybe it's because you're not meditating on the scriptures enough, because God speaks on a certain frequency. It's just like when I was growing up, we had AM radio, and then FM radio came out, and FM radio was better because it was on a higher frequency and the transmission was better. And so that's the same way it is in the spirit, is that God speaks on a certain frequency, and you have to be able to, a prophet especially has to be able to pick up God on the frequency in which he speaks. Because even with the radio stations, if you tuned in, in between frequencies, you could pick up all kinds of stuff, and you wouldn't necessarily pick up the radio station that you were trying to get. You would hear a lot of clamor. And that's the way it is in the spirit, that if you don't know God's voice, there are a lot of voices out there speaking. There are a lot of voices out there, quote unquote, prophesying and decreeing and declaring and ministering to people. But you have to be able to pick up God's voice. I can listen to a person and tell whether they are possessed by the Holy Spirit or are possessed by a demon, because I can tell the frequency on which they are decreeing and declaring. And I've heard some people speak, and my whole spirit just shudders and quakes, because I know it's not the voice of God. And that's how so many people get stuck and hurt and crippled in their walk, because they're listening to voices that are not speaking on the frequency of God. I remember I was mentoring a woman one time, and she was in a very, very abusive marriage, in ministry, but in a very, very abusive marriage. She ended up leaving her husband, and by the direction of the Holy Spirit, and she was moving on with her life, because she had two young sons, she had to take care of them. And she said she ended up remarrying him. And so as I was mentoring her, she couldn't figure out how she ended up going back, because it ended up being the same situation that it was that she left. Because sometimes people are just not going to change. You have to understand that there is an element of free will, that people can do whatever they want. It does not matter. I've seen people where God has ministered to them, that God has brought conviction, that God has put people around them to speak in their life, and they still refuse to change. And so you have to understand that people can do whatever they want. And as we were ministering to her, just a light came on, because the Bible says the entrance of thy word brings light. She said, I know what happened. Two prophets, false prophets, came to her and told her that God said it was time for her to go back to her husband. And that shifted the course of her entire life. So as a prophet, I release prophetic words, but I also receive them. And I have to make sure that people that are speaking to me are speaking on the frequency that God is speaking on. Because I'm very careful about people that speak into my life. I have to be able to trust you as not just as a prophet, but as a believer. Because there's so many people that are very, very extremely prophetic and very, very accurate, but their lives are not equivalent with the call. I believe that is a responsibility of the prophet to live holy, to live righteous, to live a life of above reproach. And I'm not talking about perfection, because I always say, as long as we're in the flesh, we're going to make errors and we're going to make mistakes. But a prophet should be quick to repent and quick to yield to God. And so it says, God speaks on a specific frequency, and without investing time in his word, a prophet's signals can get crossed, because there are many voices clamoring to be heard, and you have to make sure that you are hearing the right one. Because if you're going to go around prophesying to people, and I want to say this too, prophesying is at the low end of the totem pole when it comes to being a prophet. A prophet's responsibility, we talked about yesterday, the mantle and the jurisdiction. A prophet's responsibility is more jurisdictional, diction and governmental in nature, more in bringing order and stuff to the church, maturity and unity. So I do prophesy at different times, but God has given me a gift of bringing order and structure into environments and shifting environments so that the people of God can grow. Because remember, we talked about in Ephesians 4, where the purpose of Jesus dispensing the gifts in the earth is so that people can grow to maturity, and so that the body of Christ can be unified, so that we are all speaking the same thing, speaking the same thing, doing the same thing, and living a life that's consistent with the word of God. And so the next point out of John Paul Jackson's is called Ethics and Protocols. It says, he said, while I treasure spiritual experiences from the Holy Spirit, I will not place subjective experiences and discernments above the Bible. So many people like an encounter with the supernatural, and they love the ministry of the Holy Spirit. They love the worship. They love the releasing of the supernatural and the prophetic, but they place that above. You can't place those experiences above the word of God. I was reading this blog that this witch wrote, and she was like, I'm a witch, I'm a professed witch, but she's like, I love the ministry of the Holy Spirit. She's like, I love to go to church and feel his presence. She loved to feel his presence, but she was not submitted to his authority. I heard a pastor say, people don't have a problem with Jesus. They have a problem with Jesus being Lord. People don't want Jesus to Lord over their lives. They want to experience the ministry of Jesus, but they want to do what they want to do. So you can't take spiritual experiences and conferences and revivals. Some people are junkies, and they go to conferences and revivals every time something happens, but they put that experience above the word of God. The word of God has to take preeminence in your life. You have to decree and declare and quote and commit to memory and speak the word of God over your life, over the life of people constantly. And the next thing he said, I will not allow my emotions or pride to rob me of utilizing the Bible as my standard for weighing a revelation and any interpretation I may attach to a revelation. And he said, I will always speak a Bible-centric message. We have to understand that whenever a prophetic word, and I wrote this here, a prophetic word will never violate the word of God. If somebody gives you a word and you can't find it in scripture, then that's something you need to table. I've had people give me prophetic words that didn't necessarily resonate with my spirit, and so I tabled them. I don't necessarily dismiss words all the time unless I just really know that it's off. Because I've had people speak into my life where the word just didn't resonate with me at the time, but I watched it manifest over time. I remember when I was 23 years old, and I was still kind of, you know, rocking and reeling from my mom's death and stuff. I remember a prophet said to me, she said, God says, time to stop crying, because you're going to be a mother to many. And I have watched that manifest over in my life over time. It wasn't something that I understood at the moment she was speaking to me. And I definitely don't dismiss a word from a prophet I trust. whether I agree with it at the moment or not. But you have to make sure that every prophetic word that you've received, and I feel like I need to pray for that too, and decree crop failure on some words that some of you have received over the course of your life, and they have not been from the Lord. And those words are tying you up and landlocking you and hindering your life, and you can't move forward because you think you're disobeying God or something like that. But God just spoke to my heart right now to break those words. And so you have to remember that it's going to be consistent with the word of God in scripture, and any revelation that is released, you go and find it in the word. Don't just take, if it's a prophet that you don't know, don't just take their word for granted. Make sure that it's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Amen, Micah. And I remember a dear friend of mine, she was in a church service, a prophet, quote unquote prophet came to the service, and she said, one of the things that you can tell when a prophetic person is operating in a false spirit, because we're going to talk about true and false prophets too. But I want to say this, that a false prophet is not necessarily somebody that's not, doesn't have a prophetic gift, because witches actually have prophetic gifts. They just are unregenerated in their spirit. And so their gift is fueled by demonic spirits rather than by the Holy Spirit. That's the difference between false and true. A true prophet, their word is fueled, their message is fueled by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. False prophet, from demonic spirits and familiar spirits. So you have to be careful where the information is coming from. But she said this false prophet. So one of the ways you can see that a prophet is operating in a false spirit, because if it's false, there had to be some element of truth, is that they're very money hungry. And they're always asking for money and all that kind of stuff. And she said she was in that service and he was asking for money, people, $50, whatever, however he was doing it. And she said the moment she walked out of that church, the Holy Spirit said, "You just sowed in bad ground." So I just want to tell you, because I'm very much a proponent about having seed in the ground, but make sure where you put your seed. Don't put your seed anywhere that it cannot produce a harvest back into your life. Because a farmer is very, what's the word I want to use? They're very mindful of where they sow their seed. They don't just take their crop of corn or their crop or their apples or whatever they're planting. They don't just plant it in any ground. That ground has to be tilled. It has to be watered. It has to be turned over. The ground has to be prepared for the soil to be able to receive it. And some of you have put seed in bad ground and you think that God is a liar because that seed has not produced. No, you put it in ground that could not produce. And so be very careful. I'm very careful where I sow, what ministries I sow into. It has to be able to produce for me. And so I want to say God's prophet must have a healthy and consistent diet of the word, since God will not prophesy anything that violates his word. A prophet will always be able to validate the accuracy of his word if it is in line with the written word. Because there's times where I've spoken a word into a person's life, whether it's a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, or a prophetic word, where I was not sure that I was hearing from God. And so I sit and I table it to God. Am I hearing your voice accurate? Because it seems something so unusual to me. I want to make sure that I'm hearing God accurately, because I don't ever want to speak something into somebody's life that will cripple them or that will lock them up and they can't move forward in their walk. Because the Bible says that the word of God is to liberate people, because a prophet operates so closely with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says where the Spirit is Lord, there is liberty. So anytime you're speaking a prophetic word, it should be in the realm of edification, exhortation, and comfort. And it should bring liberty to the hearer. That person should be set free. The chains and the bondage of the enemy should be broken off of their life. And I want to say this, is that you don't have to receive every, sometimes people are under the unction and the impression that they have to receive every prophetic word that is spoken over their life. If it does not bear witness to with you, you are under no obligation to receive it. I don't care who it is. And the next thing he said, "I will seek to draw all who hear me toward a greater relationship with the Father through Jesus, and to make the name of Jesus known in a biblical way." And so you have to understand that when you're operating in the prophetic, that it's going to draw them. They shouldn't be drawn to you. I mean, there's a natural element of people being drawn to you because you're ministering to them in such a deep way. But the ultimate goal is that they move into a deeper relationship with Christ. One of the things about a false prophet is they want you to know their name. They want you to know they were here. They want you to know their pedigree. And all you can see is them, and there is no glimpse of Jesus. When I walk away from a person, my goal and my desire is that they move into a deeper relationship with Christ. And as I'm prophesying to people or ministering to the amen, as I'm prophesying to people and ministering to people, my final prayer and exhortation to them is to turn them towards Jesus. What is God saying to you? What is the direction of God? Where do you need to repent? Where do you need to move? Do you need to spend more time in prayer? Do you need to spend more time in worship? Because my job is to turn them towards him and not towards me. Because we have to remember that I just want to reiterate that we're bringing people that a prophetic, a person that is in the office of the prophet, is you're bringing people into a place of maturity. We want them to grow up in godliness. We want them to grow up and mature in the things of God, because there's too many crippled Christians out there, too many immature Christians that are not making an impact in the world. They're just taking up space. And my job is to make sure that people don't, that as a prophetic person, a prophetic voice, that you don't take up space, that you impact the world in which you live, that you impact the region, the city, the company, where it is you reside, that you make a huge impact so that people know that you're there and people's lives will be changed. I remember I worked at a very, very large organization. And I remember I had a dream about one of my coworkers, that something was going on in his life and his marriage. And, you know, it's kind of odd prophesying it at work, but I pulled him aside on my break. I was on my way to the bathroom and I saw him and I pulled him aside and I began to share with him. I said, you know, I'm a Christian. I'm not sure what your religious beliefs are, but I just want to tell you that I had a dream about you and I want to share this with you. And as I began to share this dream with him, he just bent over and he began to weep and cry. And I knew that the Holy Spirit was speaking to him. And it was, he ended up being a Christian, but God was, good morning, Beth. But God was redirecting his life. Because one of the things that a prophet does when they intersect a person's life, that is a divine redirect. God is shifting the course of their life, because the way the Bible says, wide is the road that leads to, wide is the road that leads to destruction, and narrow is the road that leads to eternal life. Sometimes you're intersecting somebody going in the wrong way. And he just began to cry and share with me his story and what was going on in his life. And I thank God that I had the opportunity to really pray for him and minister to him. But I could have been hesitant and like, God, I'm not going to say nothing to this man because I don't know them. So I don't want you ever to be afraid. If God is speaking something to you concerning somebody, it's not about you. You're not the person that's front and center. When God shows you something about a person's life, that person has already been praying. They've been crying out to God, because we all have the Holy Spirit and you have a responsibility. That person is front and center. That is God's focus, not you. The prophet is not the focus. The man or woman is the focus, and God is redirecting and shifting their life, because it's his heart's desire that no man perish, but every man has eternal life. And it reminds me of the story of Elijah, where we know the story where he went to the widow woman. And she was not a random woman. She was not a random woman, a random widow. She was a widow that was one of the wives of the sons of the prophet, because Elijah, he was around a company of prophets. He trained a company of prophets. There were prophets around him. And so he went to the widow woman because he was in relationship with her. And so he redirected her life, because when her husband, the prophet, died, they were in financial debt. And Elijah spoke into her life and said, what do you have in your hand? She had the oil and the buckets, and then the oil continued to produce. So you have to understand that don't ever be afraid that when God speaks to you about somebody's life, there is a realm of prophetic timing where God may tell you to wait or don't say anything or pray or intercede for that person. But if you feel a divine go ahead, when you see a green light in the spirit, that it's time for you to share something, then you need to share it with that person, because they are God. God is meeting them where they are at. I remember, prophet said that we can make God out of a liar if God is telling us to do something and we don't move on what he is telling us to do. So I want to read some scriptures to you because again, we're talking about laying a solid foundation in the Word of God. You have, as a prophet, you have to be a student of the Word. I study. I read commentaries. I research. Thank God for the internet. I research. I try to make sure that what I'm saying is accurate. I try to make sure that what I'm saying is biblically based, because I don't want to sin. I don't want to mislead people. I don't want to misinterpret the scriptures, because there has to be an element of my ministry that is Bible centered. I have to see the world in through the Bible, you know. So let me read these scriptures in Ephesians 4:13. Because we talked about it, these gifts that Jesus gave to the church for being maturity and unity. One of the things Ephesians 4:13 says is, then they will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of doctrine and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. You have to be very careful about who you are receiving doctrine from, what you are reading, what religions you follow. I knew a young man that was a Christian, and he was at our church every single Sunday, and he worshiped and he sowed and he gave and he served, but he was going to the Christian church and he was going to Church of Scientology at the same time. And I remember I'd seen him and I'm like, okay, why are you going there? We just were dialoguing, and he was a friend of mine. I was asking him, and he really thought that it was okay, that it was okay for him to go to the Church of Scientology and go to the Christian church at the same time. If you are listening to other doctrines that are not consistent with the Bible, then I just need to tell you, as a woman of God, not as a prophet, as a woman of God, that's not right and that's not accurate. The Bible should be your only focus of what you believe. What you say you believe, it should be the final foundation. You shouldn't be reading the Bible and the Quran and reading the Bible and the Jehovah Witness, the Watchtower, or reading the Bible and reading the Muslim newspaper. That is not, you have to, the Bible has to be the final authority in your life. And that's why people get so messed up in their head, is because they're dibbling and dabbling and all types of thing. And that's why the Bible says that people fall away. It said that so much deception is going to be in the earth that even the very elect can be fooled. So I just want to tell you, if you're reading, don't mix in the Amen, Mike. It said, the Bible says, let there be no mixture. Don't mix stuff. He told them while they were building the tabernacle that they had to use linen and not cotton. They had to use pure linen because there couldn't be any mixture. You can't be reading stuff and reading your horoscope and all that type of stuff and think you and reading the Bible at the same time. That is Satan trying to draw you away. And it says that the people were they were no longer be tossed back and forth by and blown here and there by every wind of doctrine and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. You have to understand that Satan is a schemer. One of the words for him is he is a deceiver. He is the father of lies. And it's so he's so subtle in pulling the people of God away of skewing the scriptures. And so part of your responsibility is to make sure people are hearing the word of God accurately, that they are receiving it accurately. They're not being tossed to and fro, because being tossed to and fro is a sign of immaturity. And so that's part of our responsibility. And 1 Peter 1:20, 21 says this, recognizing this above all, that every prophecy of scripture does not come about from one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but by men carried along by the Holy Spirit, carried along by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God. And we talked about yesterday about, or the day before, about being an oracle. A prophet was considered an oracle of God, meaning that we spoke on behalf of our deity, because you could be an oracle as a false prophet. So we speak on, hey, Randy, we speak on behalf of God. And in the Bible, so many times God said, he said, I put my words in their mouth. We have to be careful that we're speaking what God is speaking. One of the scriptures said, I cannot do more or less than what the word of God requires me. We cannot embellish a word of God. We cannot embellish a prophetic word. We have to speak exactly what we hear the Holy Spirit saying to us, and speaking that I either to an individual or in the body of Christ, because it says prophecy of scripture does not come about from one's own interpretation. It's not my job to interpret it for you. It's my job to deliver the message, and the Holy Spirit will interpret the word of God for you. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I don't know who's watching me, and I don't know where you are when it comes to the Bible, but you have to make a decision today that the Bible is completely accurate, completely infallible. There are no errors in it. And you have to make that decision if you are going to be effective in your sphere of influence, because the word of God, the Bible says the word of God is quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing even the soul and the spirit asunder, that it is a discerner of the motives and the intentions of the heart. God has never done anything to hurt people. Everything that God has done, everything that you read in the Bible, is to help people, is to heal people, is to mature people, because the Bible says that our ultimate destination is to be conformed into the image of Christ. So the word of God is like a chisel. It is chiseling us into the image of Christ, so that when people see us, they don't see us, they see Jesus. When you are in the presence of a true prophet, you can forget that prophet, but the words that the prophet spoke and the ministry of the Holy Spirit was released will resonate in that person's life for months and years to come. I remember one of my mentors told me, he said, Yvonne, because you speak the word of God, your message remains eternal. It will not, the Bible says that his word will never pass away. And so as long as I'm speaking and declaring the word, the message that the Holy Spirit delivers to me will never pass away. It will remain eternal. I am, and I can talk just in my own experience, messages that I have heard from different voices over my life, that the word is still eternal in me. Some people, I can't remember where I heard it from, but I've been able to pass those messages and that information down to my children, because it's eternal, and they'll pass it down to their children, because that's why the Bible is so, that's why it's so important that you preach and minister from the word of God. And the next thing is, prophecy has never been birthed. This is Deuteronomy 18:22. It says, prophecy has never been birthed out of human ability, but has always been the enablement of divine inspiration. The scripture warns the prophet about speaking words that are not divinely inspired. And this is Deuteronomy 18:22. It says, when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously, and you shall not be afraid of him. So you have to understand, any prophetic word that has been spoken over your life, or you've spoken over somebody else's life, if that thing does not come to pass, then it was not a message from God. The Bible says concerning Samuel that none of his words fell to the ground. And so I just want to admonish you again that be a student of the word. Carve out time in your day to read the scriptures, to meditate. The Bible says, God told Joshua, meditate. When Joshua was going in to possess the land and to apportion out all the territory that belonged to the children of Israel. You're welcome, Coel. To the children of Israel, one of God's directives, he said, be strong and very courageous, and make sure that you meditate on the word day and night. So Joshua did not conquer the promised land in his own strength. He conquered it because he meditated on the word day and night. The psalmist said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Meditation is a constant repetition. It's a repetitious act of declaring the word of God over and over and over until it becomes part of your spiritual fabric, that you can quote it at a moment, that you can declare it over somebody's life, that you can declare it against the enemy, because it is a weapon. The word of God is a weapon. It is, the Bible calls it, the sword of the spirit. And the word of God is what changes people's life. It's what alters the lives of people. And so I just really want to encourage you, that you are not a student of the Bible. When is the last time you picked up the word of God? When is the last time you read your Bible? When is the last time you were confessing the word of God? And not just confessing the word of God to prophesy or to walk in a prophetic gift or an office, but confessing and declaring the word of God to speak into your own life. One of my mentors, he said, Yvonne, don't just study the word of God to get a message. Study it to build up your own life. So I just want to encourage you today. Thank you, Katrina. God bless you. I just want to encourage you today that you're going to grow in God. I believe you're going to grow by leaps and bounds in the prophetic, and that you are going to be a credible voice in your generation, because that is the goal of all of this, is that you become a credible voice, that people's lives are changed, that you're a voice that people can trust, that you're a voice that people can glean from, that you're a voice that people can count on, that they could take your word to the bank. And that is the goal of all of this. And it's so that you can mature in the things of God. And in that maturity, God is going to be able to heal you and break some things off of your life that you have not been able to get free from. Because the Bible says the anointing destroys the yoke. That term literally is fatness. And a yoke was something that they put on the neck of an oxen. And they put it on the neck of an oxen as a child, because if they put it on it as an adult, the adult oxen could break off the yoke. But as a child, that yoke, that baby oxen was yoked for a life. But as it got older and older and older, the yoke could break. And that's what the anointing means, is that fatness, that the more you grow in God, the more you mature, that the more you expand in the Holy Ghost, that the yoke of the enemy will break off of your life, and you'll be delivered from things that you have been struggling with for years. Yvonne, what was that last scripture? It was the last scripture I read was Deuteronomy 18:22. And so I just want to pray for you right now. And let me say again about the yoke, is that as a child, because I kind of messed that up, if a yoke was on a baby oxen, the bigger the oxen got, the more the yoke could be destroyed, because the oxen gained weight and matured, the yoke was able to be broken off. And that's what the same thing that the anointing does to us. And the anointing is in the word of God. I remember a prophet was giving a story about, he had a dream, and he said that he began to declare the word of God in the atmosphere, and the atmosphere just started shifting and changing. I can walk into ministries and tell if there's a preeminence of the word of God, because you feel a strong presence of the ministry of the Holy Spirit there. And so be students of the word. I just really want to admonish you. And so that is prophetic protocol number one. Love the scripture. Eat them. The Bible says sometimes it's bitter that they ate the scroll, and it was bitter going down, but it was sweet to the belly. Sometimes, because the word of God will correct you. It's for, let me read that again. It's for reproof, correction, and instructions in righteousness. So there are times that I'm reading the scriptures and I'm like, wow, okay, God is talking to me and I need to make the correction. But be students of the word. And so I wanted to pray for you. Yeah, God, thank you, Holy Spirit. I want to pray for you, some of you that have received words and that have not been from prophets of God. They've been from false prophets. And so, Father, I just thank you right now. Every word, every false prophetic word that has been spoken over the lives of your people, I decree that that thing is broken right now in the name of Jesus, and that your people are being released from that word, God, and they're being released into your presence, Lord. And I thank you right now that you will give them, that somebody will speak the word of the Lord to them, that the Holy Spirit will speak to their heart and speak to their mind and speak to their spirit, Lord God. And Father, I thank you that you are repairing the damage that has been done, Lord God. I come against a religious spirit, Lord God. I come against the yoke of religion that has bound your people, that has bound your prophets. And I decree liberty, because you said who the Son sets free is free indeed, Lord God. And I decree that they are free in the Holy Spirit, Lord God. I thank you that the liberty of God is starting to break in and out over their lives, Lord God. And I decree crop failure on every negative word spoken over their life, their ministry, their endeavors, Lord God. And I decree that you are advancing them in the kingdom, because you said the kingdom of heaven suffer violent and the violent take it by force. And so, God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the liberty that's breaking out in the hearts and the minds and the souls of your people, God. And I decree the peace of God that surpasses all understanding is guarding their hearts and their minds in Christ Jesus, like a security guard guards a bank, oh God. And Father, I thank you that everything their hands touch will prosper. And Father, as we grow and listen to the word that's being declared over the airwaves, God, I decree that you're bringing them clarity and understanding, Lord God, and that the wisdom from on high is being released into their lives, Lord God. And Father, I thank you for vision. You said where there is no vision, the people perish, Lord God. I thank you that you are renewing vision and insight into their lives, Lord God. And where the enemy has robbed them, you said that if a thief be found, he has and he must restore sevenfold. I thank you for a sevenfold return back into their lives, Lord God. And I thank you that you are faithful to your word. And that your word will never fail because, God, we make the decision today that and we receive by faith that the word of God is completely accurate. There are no errors in it and that it is completely infallible. And we thank you for that in the name of Jesus. And we bless you and we honor you in Jesus' name. As always, if you have any questions, go ahead and put them in the comments. I'll put my email address for YouTubers so that you can contact me, put them in the comments. I will always make sure to go back and read them, answer your questions. And I'm here to serve you. I'm here to help you. I'm here to pour into you. And I thank God for the opportunity because it is a choice and a decision for you to listen to me. There are a lot of voices out there speaking. So I thank God for your time. Thank you for your time. And so those of you for the writer's class, I don't know what kind of going on with that, but I'm going to record it and it will be in your email inbox tomorrow because I know that you really need the information. And I'm a person that I keep my word. If I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. So it'll be in your inbox tomorrow. And you can always email me back with questions that you have. Amen, Kalia. So God bless you guys and have an amazing day tomorrow. We will be talking about raising Joshua. So I've committed Fridays to really ministering to parents and praying for children, adult children, babies, whatever. I think that's a significant work. And even fathers, not just for mothers, fathers too. But I've devoted it to praying for children. Micah, I will put my email. I'll put my email in the comments so you can email. It is a writer's class called Writer's Block. I have a burden for scribes, writers. So I want to help you get your book out there, teaching you about publishing and all that kind of stuff. So I will just shoot me an email. Amen. So God bless you guys. Love you always. Well, there is my email, guys. Love you.